The scripture this morning is from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me and more as well, if even death parts me from you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So we've got so much stuff going on this Sunday. We're in this 24th Sunday after Pentecost. We're at All Saints Sunday. We have communion. It's Reformation Sunday, which I haven't even thought about. It's 2 days before the election. It's just about everything that you can try to cram into an hour. So we'll see how we do with that. This is one of those days that we have two choices of what set of lectionary readings to use, and for this particular All Saints Sunday, I chose the story of a saint that comes from the 24th Sunday after Pentecost readings rather than the All Saints Sunday, the story of Ruth. Ruth is one of those little four-chapter gem books in the Bible that's just kind of sitting in there. It's a great story. It's an easy read. It's just a delightful story, and it's also a very important part of the historical record. All Saints Sunday is the day that we remember those who have gone on before, and it came about because there are too many saints for us to remember otherwise. The church canonizes people after they die. Often they died a martyr's death, and that qualifies them for sainthood. But the church, and we're talking about the Catholic Church before there was anything else particularly, qualifies, approves these people as saints based on the end of their life primarily, because they weren't all saintly to begin with. You know, that's the way things work. But they're people who helped, who healed, who performed miracles either before or after death, a certain set of rules. And so then they were given a day, generally the day of their death, because they didn't necessarily know the day of their birth. And the calendar gets filled, and some saints are on days that are already taken, so they're days with multiple saints, and you still can't get them all. And besides that, the Catholic Church doesn't know everything. There's all kinds of saints in the world that the Catholic Church never heard of. And so we have All Saints Day. We're just going to gather everybody else into this one big bucket of sainthood. I went to vote on All Saints Day on Friday. And I got a really cool sticker. It's really cool. I'll show it to you. But the best voting sticker I've ever gotten. But got into a conversation because of the sticker with the three election, voting officials who were there. It was not a busy day, and that's a good thing. But people were there voting, and that's a good thing. And so we got to talking about All Saints Day and particular saints, and this one person said, "Well, I really like, I don't remember the name of the saint, patron saint of beer, maybe somebody else knows, I don't know," which sounded good. And it turns out, he told me the story. He said he was living back in the olden days, and there were problems with the water, and some people were getting sick because the water was bad, and he devised this cool process for making it safe to drink, which involved fermentation, and so beer was born. Life-saving liquid, right? Okay, that's a good cause for being a saint. That improves people's lives. Yeah, good saint. We all have our favorite saints. I'm particularly fond of St. Patrick, as many of you know. He's a very popular one, but he's one of my favorites. But the saints, those people that we know about, those people that we see in stained glass windows, especially in older churches that have been around forever, you know, those are nice. And we do tend to have our favorites, you know, saints of lost things, saints of children, saints of animals. We like those people. Even so, the saints that mean the most to us are not those legends, not those stained glass figures that are rather cold and lifeless and brittle, but the people, the ordinary people that we encounter in our lives. Real saints are real people, warts and all. Teachers, neighbors, friends, relatives. These are the saints in our lives, and they don't have to be dead to be a saint. Paul wrote to saints all over the known world, and they were people who were alive to hear what he had to say. As you know, I recently attended, co-officiated a wedding, and my daughter-in-law, who was the bride, had a saint in her life, has a saint in her life that she remembered at the wedding. Her saint is her grandmother, Lily. And Lily was remembered by one single lily among the other white flowers in the arch they had at the altar area, and also by Grandmother Lily's rosary, which was incorporated into Amelia's bouquet. These are the saints that matter to us, the grandparents, the friends, the people who have guided and supported us and made a difference in our lives. One of these saints is Ruth. Ruth is set in a time when, can you imagine, there was conflict in the Middle East. And in the book of Ruth, we are dealing with the conflict between Israel and Moab. And there had been a famine in Israel. And so Naomi and her husband, I think his name was Elimelech, went to Moab, traditionally an enemy of Israel, but they were refugees there because they had to find food. And then all the men in this family die, and the men included the dad and the two sons, and left the widow and the two daughters-in-law. Naomi was the widow, and Ruth was one of the daughters-in-law. The famine in Israel ended, and Naomi felt that she needed to go back to Israel. And she also felt that she didn't need to drag her daughters-in-law with her. So she told them they could stay. Now that's a pretty brave step on Naomi's part. Her prospects were really not very promising. She was older. She was a widow. She was alone. And she was going someplace that she had not been for a long time and traveling by herself. Traveling by herself? That seems difficult, if not impossible. And so, but she told her daughters, you know, you're here among your people and you should go back to your people because your husbands have died and, you know, I'm not having any more sons to provide husbands for you. So you should stay where you're at home, where your families are, where your own culture and faith and language is prevalent. And so one did, but Ruth said, no, I'm going with you. I married your son, you're my mother-in-law, I am staying with you. Where you go, I will go. Your people are now my people because I have married into your family. Where you die, I will also be buried when I die. So she honored her mother-in-law by leaving everything she knew and staying with her and supporting her. A thought about using Ruth as in the wedding, but ultimately I didn't. But there's good parallels there, and in Revelation there's the image of the new Jerusalem, the church, adorned as a bride for her husband, making that commitment to belong to one another. That's one of the other scriptures for this morning, and another one was from Mark. And it is where Jesus says that the greatest commandment is love. The saints are the people who love. The saints are not the people who followed the commandments most carefully, who did the sacrifices most specifically. They are the people who loved. The story will be continued next week. But the message for today is that the saints are people who are selfless. They give of themselves for the good of others. Y'all know anybody like that? Yeah. I see people like that. Those people support us and guide us. They are among us. The saints are with us. We are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Those who have gone before, those who are with us now, and those who are yet to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.